And welcome again to Cottage Talk. I'm Russ Goldman, and co-hosting with me is David Hulley. In this episode, we will be reviewing and looking at all the Fulham players, and we're going to make the decisions who should stay and who should go. This should be very interesting. And with me on this show is Mr. David Hulley, and I'm going to bring him on right now. David, how you doing?
Hi, Russ. Hi, Russ. How are everyone? Yeah. Could be a very easy show to do, just get rid of a lot of them. We could be done in 10 minutes and golf down the pub.
Yeah, David, it could be that easy. But you know what? We should be going through this because there are going to be players that you definitely want to stay. So let's start here. Before we go breaking down the players, and I have a little transfer speculation for you, I want to start with the breaking news earlier today, and want to get your thoughts on the signing of Michael Mantle permanently for an additional 2 years with the club. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, very pleased to hear that. Not the biggest surprise, obviously. We thought that would be the case. But he was, you know, one of a very few sort of bright moments for a very poor season. So, yeah, he's someone we want to try and build a team around, or build a defence around, actually. Let's not worry about building a team. Let's actually just get a defence first, and then maybe the rest will fall into place. But, yeah, good news, I think, yeah.
Absolutely, David. And like I was talking to Matt before, I think it's important that you sign someone that Savisa can trust. Obviously, this is the second signing. We had Scott Parker. But in your mind, do you see, and I asked Matt the same question, do you see him as one of the players that will start each and every week for Savisa? Do you see him as someone that you can pretty much count on? Have you seen enough to feel that confident?
I would, well, from the players we had this season just finished, he was clearly worthy of being, you know, the starting place. He was, I would have thought, probably our best defender overall from what we saw in terms of his all-round play. So unless we go out and sign, you know, people considerably better, you know, he's got to be there or thereabouts for, you know, a regular place in the team. And to be honest with you, it'd be strange to bring him in, you know, when things are tight, you know, to get him in on this loan and then the permanent deal. Why do it if they don't really plan to use him as a regular? We've got plenty of defenders we could keep as spare at the moment. So I think, yeah, he's going to be there or thereabouts all the time.
I tend to agree with you, and I actually think that he's a very good signing. I've seen what I need to with him. I think he's going to work out great. And Matt actually agrees with you on your sentiments when it comes to Michael Mantle. All right, David, we have a little transfer speculation, so let's start there before we go breaking down the players. So I saw this the other day. It's actually these two players are both linked to Bournemouth. Let's start with Lee Tomlin. He's a midfielder. There is speculation linking him to Fulham, and I'll just tell you a little bit about him. You probably do know more about him, but he is a Bournemouth player. But he actually was out on loan with Bristol City. He made 18 appearances for them. He scored 6 goals. And I'll just give you some information from who scored, just to give you some characteristics of Lee Tomlin. He's strong at through balls, long shots, key passes, dribbling, and direct free kicks. His weaknesses are aerial duels and defensive contribution. His style of play, likes to dribble, likes to play long balls, plays the ball on the ground often, likes to cut inside, does not dive into tackles, commits fouls often, though. So that's a little bit about Lee Tomlin. Like I mentioned, he was at Bristol City on loan. This is just speculation. He is a midfielder, but he's played on the right, he's played on the left, he's played central. So what are your thoughts about this type of player for Fulham? Are you interested or are you not interested?
To be honest with you, he's not someone that I've ever been interested in that much. I know he did actually score against us when he was on loan, but I actually thought he was older than he was. I thought he was older than 27 for some reason. He seems like he's been around forever. I kind of get the impression, you know, he's one of those players, a bit like in the way of sort of the physique of someone like Ross McCormack. Someone you look at and you think, does he need to lose a few pounds or not? He has that kind of that build about him. Not saying he does, but he wasn't someone who struck out as being, for me, the sort of you know, the fresh blood that we need, people with pace to come in the team. He's another one of these kind of players that we already have, similar players, you know, to, you know, so I don't know who you'd liken him to, whether he's like Kenny or whether he's like an LVC, but I'm not sure if he's good enough to be, you know, to take us up a level. We certainly do need new players, but I'm not sure if he's better than anyone we have particularly.
Okay, very good. And like I mentioned, this is just speculation. It's starting, and we're going to get more and more of this, but I found it interesting that phone will link to him and also another Bournemouth player. I'm curious your thoughts on this because I'm very familiar with Glenn Murray. He's also a Bournemouth player, but again, what's interesting, you know, about him, you know, I was looking at his history, David, and it's interesting because he's a proven goal scorer, but there are really two seasons where he really stood out. What's interesting about Glenn Murray is he's 32 years old, but he's going on 33, so he's not a young player at all, obviously. And, you know, when I look back and I look back at his record, David, what's interesting, because I was curious, you know, I remember there was one season that he scored a ton of goals, and I'm just looking at it as we're speaking. Of course, I'm doing another Goldman here, and I'm trying to pull up information and talk to you at the same time. You know I can't multitask, David. But let's look at this. It was with Crystal Palace. 2012-2013 season, Glenn Murray scored 30 goals. But, you know, after that, you know, the goals started to go down. So that's what's interesting about him. He's had a few seasons. He had a good season in League One with Brighton Hove Albion where he scored 22 goals. But there are other seasons where, you know, it's okay, but it's not, you know, it's not stellar. And also, like I mentioned, he is an older player. So what are your thoughts about this speculation?
I mean, I have to say that obviously the age just put me off. I know, you know, he had a great season before with Palace, especially that one.
Yep.
And you know, he's been sort of sometimes up there, and you know, he does come a little bit in waves, has good and bad times. But it's just the age for me puts me off. I mean, are we looking to build, you know, a team to be stable for the future? Are we looking for a short term fix? If we're looking for a short term fix, if they get the other parts of the team right, maybe a guy who can have one good season is okay, but it's not really a long-term view, is it? I think
we need
to be looking at players who are younger than him. You know, I mean, there's nothing to say he can't do. I mean, like Daryl Murphy is well past 30, and he's, you know, he's been a regular goal scorer too. And obviously, Ross is getting close to 30 as well. But I think, you know, perhaps there's someone who is... you know, a bench player maybe, so an experienced player to come off the bench, super sub kind of thing, someone who knows where the goal is, someone who maybe can't play 90 minutes all the time, but, you know, in burst can do okay, maybe for that. But for him, is that the sort of play he would want? Would he want to come to a club where he's going to be a bench player, a squad player, or would he want to, at his stage of the game, be playing regular football, you know, week in, week out? And I'm not sure if that's something we could offer him, really, so... Not sure about this one.
Yeah, I'm not sure about it either, David. And listen, I know that I'm going to compare him to a different striker, totally different type of striker. Okay, but Bobby Zamora went to Brighton Hove Albion. He obviously had history there, and you know, he played a good amount, but he's an aging striker. So I'm not against this if it was someone like you said to come off the bench. But game in and game out, his age puts me off too. When I saw that, I was like, oh, okay. I hope it's just speculation, nothing against him. And like I mentioned, he hasn't been prolific lately. You know, obviously he's up in the Premier League, different level than the Championship, but he has scored, he had that one season tremendously in the Championship 4 years ago. So, but it is 4 years ago. So we'll see if any of the speculation goes anywhere, but I thought that's how we would start the show. All right, David, let's now go into who should stay and who should go. This should be interesting and fun. We'll start with the goalkeepers, and I'm going to start with this one first to get us going because I truly believe that this goalkeeper is going to be gone, and that's Martin Stecklenburg. There's already speculation that Southampton might want him permanently, and I hope that that is the case, David, if you're asking me. I do hope that's the case. He's 33 years old. His contract is still for another season with Fulham. What are your thoughts about this? Do you think we could still get a decent amount of money for Stecklenburg?
I think it's a matter of cutting our losses with him. I'm not sure, you know, how much we would get, but you know, whoever signed him, I know it was Joel, wasn't it, but whoever decided to sign him.
It was.
It was very, very bad business, you know, a long, probably expensive contract for someone unproven in the Premier League at that point. And things went wrong and we're stuck with him like a millstone around our neck. So I think he's got to go. I don't think he was good enough for us before. I'm not sure if he'd be good enough for us now. I don't think he wants to play for us anyway. He, you know, he's a bit of a misery at the best of times, really. So definitely, I think he's one for the go list. If we can get anything for him, it's a bonus. And it's funny because obviously we saw the end of Kostas Mitroglou this week, or Mitroglou.
Yep.
And, you know, I do hate the way Fulham sometimes are so, you know, they didn't even tweet it. They did put it on the website, but they didn't even tweet it. It was very, very low key. They said
yep.
as little as they could. And yet the speculation says that, I actually read one thing that said we didn't actually pay anything for him like we thought we had paid for him because there were clauses that were never met. We didn't, you know, stay in the Premier League. He didn't reach targets, etc. And in fact, we ended up getting more for him than we paid for him when you add on loan fees and everything else.
That's right.
Fulham, of course, don't like to share this business. So I'm not sure if you could say the same for Stekelenburg. Not sure what we paid for him. I think
sure.
it was in the 4 to 5 million, if I remember correctly. Well, with a speculation, obviously, because Fulham don't announce these things. So I reckon if you could get a couple of million for him, if he was lucky to get a couple of million for him, it would probably be good business to get something for him rather than nothing. So
right.
he's an absolute certain go for me. I don't think there's no you know, romantic comeback for him like there was with Amar Bieta, maybe. So definitely Stekelenburg. See you
okay.
later.
I'm there with you, David. I'm totally there with you. All right, here's an interesting one. Jesse Ronan, who just re-signed. So he's 23 years old, the same age as Marcus Bettinelli. So I'm curious your thoughts on him. He's been out on loan. He was injured as well. You know, going back to McGath, it was really neck and neck between Bettinelli and Ronan. He's still with us. What are your thoughts about him?
Well, I have a difficult scenario with goalkeepers because I think the general opinion is that we don't have one goalkeeper who's good enough to be an undisputed champion, and we actually need perhaps a better goalkeeper with the prospect of someone like Bettinelli, you know, being their understudy. So where does that leave Joranen? I'm not sure. Where does it leave Lonergan? Because I would imagine that, you know, whoever's in the team, you always normally want an experienced goalkeeper as backup somewhere, not necessarily playing, but as a mentor for the younger goalkeepers as well. And you know, and we've had that previously with other guys. We've had some sort of experienced, not necessarily great, but experienced goalkeepers hanging around. But so it would be very interesting if we did sign a little bit of a more experienced goalkeeper or a better goalkeeper, let's say, and yet his understudies turned out to be two young guys. It has a kind of a strange perspective to it. I'm sure Matt Smith would have a view on that. But for me, Joranen, it's going to be difficult because I can't see where he fits in, really. He's behind Lonergan, he's behind Bettinelli, I would have thought, in the pecking order at present. And therefore, if we sign another goalkeeper, he's going to be behind them. So all I can see for him, really, is we can't get rid of him at the moment on a freebie. So I would imagine, unless someone wants to buy him, it'll be another loan spell for Joranen.
Right. Now, good point there, David. And I also want to mention lone player Joe Lewis will be going back to his parent club. So it's really, really not necessary to speak about him. He was decent, you know, but he's strictly backup. Now let's talk about the two main goalkeepers. I'm curious if you think both should stay, one should stay, or none should stay. So let's talk about Andy Lonergan, 32 years old. He's under contract for one more season with Fulham. And then you have Marcus Bettinelli, 23 years old. He's under contract to June 30th of 2019. Let me ask you, David, let's start with Lonergan and then go to Bettinelli. Who should stay and who should go?
It's another difficult one. I think Bettinelli is young enough to improve still and therefore should stay, but maybe as an understudy. But, you know, both of them, we know they can do a job. You know, when they're not awful goalkeepers. They have their weaknesses and perhaps, you know, more weaknesses than other goalkeepers that are better teams, but they, you know, on their day, they can be very, very useful goalkeepers, both of them. So I think most certainly Bettinelli to stay. Lonergan to stay as, at the moment as well, whilst we don't have any other senior goalkeepers, because he is really the only senior goalkeeper around. If you think about it, all the others are youngsters. You know, we have the guys from the under-21s, under-18s, the Rodaks, the Magnus Normans, obviously Joran and Bettinelli. He is the only senior one. So Lonergan must stay unless we sign another serious goalkeeper, and in which case he may not fancy being number three, and he may want to go anyway. So we keep him for now, but only for short term.
Okay. Now, with Marcus Bettinelli, this is the one that Matt Smith and I were talking earlier about, because what's interesting about him, David, is, you know, I'm on transfermarket.co.uk, and it gives you, I guess you could say, an estimated market value. And Marcus Bettinelli's estimated market value is £1.13 million, which is not bad. He's a young goalkeeper. So would you consider it, you know, last year the other club in Fulham were after him. If someone else was after him, would you have to think about it if you were Fulham? Would you have to think about, you know what, maybe it makes more sense to sell him, or would you hold on to him?
For £1.13 million, I wouldn't consider it. You know, he's 23 okay. years old. He's been picked for England under-21s. He has
yep.
first-team experience. He's a goalkeeper who's still learning. He's still a long way from his peak. It'd have to be a lot more than that to take him away, I think, at the moment.
Okay.
But it's going to depend on, say, who we sign, really, if we sign anyone at all, of course, because we don't know for certain. But I think we have the impression, we've heard rumours about bringing goalkeepers in before on loan, perhaps, potentially.
Yep.
That was, you know, Alex McCarthy was one of those names mooted. So it's possible we will be bringing in another goalkeeper, and therefore Bettinelli may, you know, his perspective may change with him. But at the moment, unless someone offers big money, I would say keep him.
Okay, very good there, David. All right, our co-host at the last minute had the dropout. That was Yanis Shinaeus. He wanted to be here to do this show with you, David. He made that clear to me, so I just want to mention that. He has some notes. I'm going to share some with you because it involves goalkeepers. He mentions at first the players that he would like to stay, and then he mentions, you'll notice that I haven't included any goalkeepers. If Bettinelli stays, it has to be as a backup. We need an experienced keeper to take us back up. Okay, David, what are your thoughts about that? So Yanis sees Bettinelli as a backup. Do you agree with him or disagree?
Well, that's what I just said, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yanis is agreeing with me, of course. Now, I said
yes.
we need a more experienced goalkeeper. We need a better goalkeeper. He doesn't have to be more experienced, but it kind of goes without saying that a better goalkeeper
sure.
would like to be more experienced. So, and I said that will be the case with Bettinelli as backup and Lonergan going to three. So Yanis is completely agreeing with what I said there.
Absolutely. And, David, that's another Goldman. I've had my share of Goldmans today, just so you know. When I did the show with Matt Smith, I had several Goldmans. I was, I was including by accident James Husband and Sean Kavanaugh with the right backs. I was forgetting Jack Rimmer, which will make Mike Gregg very upset at me that I forgot to even mention Jack Rimmer. But I was having many senior moments. That's all I'm going to say. So the fact that I have a Goldman early is no surprise, honestly. All right. Let's now go to defenders. We will start with right backs. So you ready for this? Because these two to start off are going to be very interesting. So let's start with Jazz Richards, 25 years old. He's under contract, David, until June 30th, 2018. Keep that in mind. Ryan Fredericks, only 23 years old, under contract for the same amount of time. But as we know, he's a little bit more versatile, even though Jazz Richards says he could play in the midfield. We know that Ryan Fredericks can play. So let's start with these two right backs. Who should stay and who should go?
Do you really have to ask about Jazz Richards? I mean, is there anyone who's going to say they want him to stay? Anyone? Not even Emilio would say. And Emilio's very kind. Emilio's much kinder than we are, the rest of us. But Jazz Richards is a no-brainer. All we can say is hope he does well, or apparently well, for Wales.
That's
and
someone, right.
But, someone takes him off it because, you know, I can't see how he would do well for Wales, but if he does, so be it. Good luck to him. So you don't let the door hit you on the way out, as they say. Not really anything else to say. Fredericks, yes, I would keep him because he does offer that versatility and he has pace that we lack. And you know, if nothing else, as a sub, someone to come on and run at tired legs, he could be very useful. He certainly can fill in at right back, perhaps not regularly, but as a backup there, if we play the wing back system, it's a little bit more his cup of tea there. But, you know, right midfield, if we play a 4-4-2, he can also come on. So, yeah, I would definitely keep Fredericks, but I would bin Richards, which is, you know, the most obvious sort of statement of the century, I think, really.
I totally agree with you. And Matt and I talked about something interesting, and you kind of mentioned it too. If I'm Fulham, though, David, I kind of wait on him, meaning see how he plays in the Euros, because if he does play in the Euros, you could get more money for him. So it sounds like you agree with me and Matt on that.
Well, we said that there about Brian Ruiz, if you remember. You know, he had a relatively good World Cup, apparently, and yet still no one wanted to buy him off us, and we were actively touting him for sale.
That's true.
So it doesn't necessarily mean that a perceived good performance would get a fee, but they are, I mean, I'm sure there'll be someone out there who could be hoodwinked. Maybe if Kit Simon ends up at Charlton or wherever he wants to go, he'd be there knocking the door for him, and we'd say, you know, take him for free, take him as a present, as a welcome present. Hopefully, Kit Simon gets back into a job soon, and he'll take Jazz Richards wherever he is. Simple. Sorted.
Oh, that's too funny, David. By the way, on transfermarket.co.uk, his market value right now is 563K. So just keep that in mind. I find that interesting. All right, and I would be remiss not to mention this player. Like I said, I screwed up on the coaching corner. Thoughts on Jack Rimmer, 22 years old, under contract for one more season, David?
That's been an interesting one for Jack because he's been away from Fulham and had first-team football, and he seems to have enjoyed himself thoroughly. He's had some memorable games there down at Shrewsbury. Coming back now, obviously Slavica hasn't had a look at him at all, I don't think, and it'll be interesting to see whether Slavica fancies him, gives him a chance, or whether he just goes out and buys another right back above his head. And so for Jack, I think the situation is going to be who comes in, if anyone at all. If no one comes in, then I think he's got a great chance, because I think actually Richards is not going to get another game for us. Let's hope not anyway. Fredericks, you know, is still... the jury's out on him, so you know this could be the chance for Grimmer to get that place. But I'm not sure if he'll be Slavica's sort of player yet, and so Jack Grimmer may find that he ends up back out on loan, and we don't see him again.
Okay, but if you were to make the call, you would keep him?
I would definitely keep him for now. I mean, this is, you know, if we've just gone out and signed 15 new players, it may change the perspective on things. But at this moment.
At this moment.
You know, we haven't got any other players. We're losing Jazz Richards as far as I'm concerned, so we've got to keep Fredericks and Grimmer.
Okay, very good there, David. All right, let's now shift to left-back. You know, Matt and I had a very interesting conversation about Luke Garbutt. He's 22 years old, obviously, going back to Everton. He's under contract with them until 2020. So I'm curious, you know, we've had a decent amount of time to take a look at him. He's still a young player. Would you go to Everton and say, you know what, we'll take him back on loan, or are you done with Luke Garbutt?
I'm done with Luke Garbutt. They can keep him.
Okay, very good. Not a problem. All right, I'm going to include this player, David, because I actually want Fulham, and I said this to Matt as well, I want Fulham to go after this player. And you know who I'm going to be talking about. He was with Fulham the first half of the season, then went back out on loan to another team. He's a Middlesbrough player, and he's still only 22 years old. But what's interesting is that Middlesbrough are going up, so there might be an opportunity to potentially get him. And I'm talking about James Husband. If he's available, David, would you like him back at Fulham?
I would, but it seems a bit perverse to be talking about it, because this is a show where we're talking about the players that we have and whether we're going to keep them or get rid of them. And we're talking about now getting a player that, you know, isn't our player. I mean, you know, Lionel Messi may come available. We could speculate we'd like to see him at Fulham. Do you know what I mean?
Okay.
Yeah, obviously we'd like to see Husband back at Fulham, but I think you know, and I'm not being too critical, I hope, but let's stick to the ones that we've got and get rid of them first before we think about who we'd like to get in. But yes, of course, you know, I'd like James Husband to come back.
Okay, and I put him in just for you, by the way, just so you know. But fine by you to say that, David. I understand where you're going because we have plenty of players to go through. I don't think I have to spend too much time on this player. Sean Kavanaugh, 22 years old. He's, though, under contract to June 30th, 2018. Stay or go?
Go, definitely.
Okay. I had a feeling that that's where that would go. Now, here's an interesting one because I'm going to include him in left back, David, but we know that he's also a center back by trade as well. In fact, we're not sure what he is. Tim Ream, 28 years old. He's under contract, David, to June 30th, 2019. His market value, according to transfermarket.co.uk, is £1.13 million. So keep that in mind. What do you do with Tim Ream? Stay or go?
Well, it's like with Tim Ream, you know, he's in two minds for me. I have two minds with him because he can't play at left back and he can't play at centre back. So it's like, which one is he or which one isn't he? To be honest with you, my gut feeling is get rid of him as well because I just don't think he's got enough to be a central defender. And if he can only play, if we play three at the back, then it's not enough reason to keep him, really. Because if we need to play two at the back, he's not good enough. And at left back, you know, it's all the things that we need to get away from, you know, this lack of movement, lack of going forward. And, you know, it's a shame because he's a tidy player at times. And, again, he could be versatile. You know, potentially he could even play, you know, a holding midfield kind of role. But then we start going into the realms of square pegs in round hole and keeping someone because he could play there when, you know, we could be playing a dedicated player in that position, you know, someone who actually is their role. So I think for me, for Tim Ream, I'm going to say it really for literally all the centre-backs, it's get rid of them, really, I'm afraid. It's,
okay.
It's not going to be just him.
Okay, and I understand that, David. All right. This one's interesting, David, because I completely forgot about him. I knew he was around, but he was out on loan. Nikolai Botterov, 29 years old. He's still under contract for another season. Stay or go, you've already said for you all the center backs can go pretty much for you, except for Mattel, obviously, he signed. So I'm assuming that's a go?
Well, you see, the thing is for Botterov is that Slavica hasn't had a look at him, and I don't know whether you would think differently. But in a way, Botterov is a bit of a Maddle kind of type player. He's not the tallest centre-back, but he is quite strong. But I think it's just that the trouble with Botterov is that he's a little bit more impulsive than Maddle. He doesn't read the game as well. So he's a poor man's version of Michael Maddle, really. So I think, you know, although he hasn't had a chance, where is he on loan? I can't know. Where is he on loan, Russ?
I'm not saying it, David. I'm not saying it. Don't trick me. I'm not saying it. What?
You know what? I had another trivia question for you, Russ, because I'm going in the World Quizzing Championships.
Yes.
You know, obviously, in our road to the European final, we had a ban on flights in Europe for a while. Do you remember that?
Yep.
Because of a volcanic eruption.
Okay.
Do you remember the name of the volcano?
Oh, no, I don't, David. Oh, that's a great trivia question. I don't.
It's about 30 letters long, and it's got about a million J's and Y's in it.
Okay.
So if you could pronounce that, the team that Botterov has would be a cinch. But anyway, Botterov...
Okay.
Botterov just... I think Botterov, unfortunately, will have to be, you know, the same as everyone else. Unless Slavica sees him and thinks something differently,
okay.
I think it's bye-bye Botterov as well.
Okay. And basically, you've said no on all the center backs, but there's just one that I really want to ask you about. So I'll just mention Sean Hutchinson is actually out of contract at the end of June. He's only 25 years old, and like I said, you've already pretty much written him off. Fernando Amorebieta, 31 years old, David, and he's still under contract for another season. I'd like to see if Fulham can get something for him. The one that I really wanted to ask you about is Richard Stearman, because, you know, he at first looked like he was not getting a chance to play with Slavica. Then he did. Richard Stearman's 28 years old. He's under contract until June 30th, 2018. So you pretty much have said they all should go. But let me ask you, are you sure about that when it comes to Stearman? Would you want him to, if he's someone for cover, or definitely he should go? And I said to Matt, if there's one team that I would try to sell him to if you could, I'd sell him back to Wolves, honestly, because I think Wolves would take him back. So what would you do, David? You know, again, would you keep him around, or you definitely he should go to?
Well, I'm going to be controversial here, yeah?
Okay.
And I'm actually going to say, obviously Maddle is a key, but out of all the other centre-backs, for now, I would keep Amobieta. I would let the rest go. Amobieta can do what Tim Ream does, remember. Amobieta can play as one of three
yep.
or a left back, and he can play as one of two. He actually can play as one of two. I'm not saying, he has his issues, but he's a lot stronger than Ream is. He's, you know, and at left back, he actually gets forward better than Ream. I can remember Amobieta at left back getting forward and putting some nice crosses in, believe it or not. So if you're going to put, you know, a round peg in a square hole or whatever and play someone out of position, I think he does the job better than Tim Ream. So everything that Tim Ream does, Amobieta does better for me. And he's better at getting yellow cards as well, of course. So, and we like to, you know, we like to see a bit of fight. But no, I would actually keep Amobieta for now because I think when they played three at the back, we actually did seem to have, you know, the makings of a bit of a defence coming back. Amobieta, when he first came back to the team, was very strong. And although, as I say, it frustrates the hell out of you when he gives away stupid fouls and yellow cards, at least, you know, a strong defender wins the ball in the air or strong on the ground is a bit of a rarity for Fulham. So keep Amobieta and Maddle, the only centre-backs I'm going to keep for now. And I know that means we are dreadfully short, but I think we have to buy. Stearman hasn't been good enough. Ream hasn't been good enough. Byrne has gone already. Hutchinson hasn't really been good enough. And Bodaroff, obviously, he wasn't deemed to be good enough, and he was sent out on loan to FC, whatever they are, beginning with M.
Okay, very good. David, I'm going to give you some thoughts from Giannis. Giannis mentions in his notes that he would keep Michael Maddle. He would keep Ryan Fredericks. Those are the defenders. And this is what he has to say, and I think you'll find this interesting. He says, with honorable mentions to Jazz Richards in over 40, he's talking about players that he wants to leave. He says, in over 40 years of supporting Fulham, I can think of very few worse players. Awful. Stearman, nice guy, but rotten year. So that's his thoughts on the defenders, and I'll mention the midfielders when we get there, David. So let's now transition over to the midfield. You know, we obviously know that Scott Parker is going to be with us in 2017. Are you happy with that move?
I don't know really. It depends on what role he has. I think Scott Parker has still been one of our best players in the second half of the season, and so I can understand it in one way. But for the future, of course, again, it's short term. But it depends what influence he has on the squad, really. You know, if he's a calming sort of influence which brings the squad together, and you know, people sort of bounce off his experience and enthusiasm, great. If he's divisive and causes factions and fuctions, that's a good one. That's a good portmanteau. That's a Goldman for you. Fuctions.
Yes.
Fuctions is a is a portmanteau of factions and fucks. So, yeah, and that's exactly what we've been this year. We've been a fuction, haven't we, you know?
We have.
We've been a divided squad with people who don't give a fuck, I think. And I apologize. I wasn't intending to swear, but that's one of my best
David,
words.
David,
now
I have to make it R-rated. Thank you. Now I have to make it R-rated. Okay.
That's better than my limp home mode.
Yeah.
So
stay?
That's a sort of, it's a ruction, a faction, and a fuck-up. So we have all those things put together. So with Scott Parker, I'm kind of pleased he's staying in a way. I'm surprised he's staying, but I am kind of pleased. But it's really about who we bring in and who we play around him than Scott Parker himself. Now we know he's here, we can't, you know, we can't say we want to sell him because that's not going to be happening, so we've got to get on with it.
Sure. Okay, David. Let's do this a little bit more rapid fire just because we have several players to go through. So I'm gonna try to give you a few that you can really go through fairly quickly. Let's start with Kaká, 24 years old. He's out of contract at the end of June. And then I'm also going to mention Jamie O'Hara, 29 years old. He's also out of contract at the end of June. Then I'm going to throw in Sakari Matilla, 26 years old. He's under contract for one more season. So let's go through this. Kaká, stay or go. Sakari Matilla, stay or go. And then Jamie O'Hara, stay or go.
Kaká, I'm afraid to say go. I like him very much, everything, but I don't think he's come on really. He never had a permanent run in the team. He's had little runs in and out of the team, the occasional flash, but in the main, not good enough. So thanks, but no thanks, Alex. Matilla, I don't know. He was the great white hope at one point. We thought he could be this guy who is the defensive shield we've been looking for. And he had a really good game and then went off the boil after that, got a bit injured, didn't see him again. So I don't think he's going to be the solution either, Matilla. So perhaps keep him as backup, but otherwise let him go as well. And the other player was...
Jamie O'Hara.
Already who it was. How could I forget Jamie O'Hara? See, I'm kind of minded to keep him because despite... There's been rumours again that he's another one of the Fuction Brigade, you know.
Yep.
I think he's been a very hard-working player. I think he really has, you know, put his heart into it for Fulham. And, you know, you need hard-working players as much as you need flair players. And you know, I think he's got a certain quality and experience about him. He's not too old. I think he's the sort of person you would want with a fight. If he's got better players around him, I think he would do a good job for us still, or he could do a good job for us. I certainly think he's one worth keeping as a squad player at the moment. I know we have got an over heavily, you know, a balanced midfield. We do a lot of central midfielders, but you know, I would be tempted to give him another year. Certainly, I mean, it depends on who he's got his eyes on. We don't know who Slavica's got his eyes
right
on, or who else is staying or going. So, at this minute, with the lack of sort of anyone better coming in, I'd say I would give him another year.
Okay, very good there, David. All right, I'm going to give you a couple of interesting ones. Rowan Ince, not Fulham player. Should we even mention him? Do you want me not to mention him because of the other situation with James Husband, should we bypass Rohan Ince?
Well, at least Rohan Ince was here, as opposed to Husband, obviously, he's not here now. So, but we know that Rohan Ince is going back. Again, you know, it's another one of these players that is brought into a specific role, and perhaps he's a bit limited in the way that he can play one role, but, you know, if we change our shape or change our tactics, I'm not sure how well he fits in with it. You know, he fitted... When we tried to play a very tight team, he fitted quite well. But maybe if we're looking to play more expansive football, I'm not sure if his passing is up to it. Not that he's in the team to be a passer, but still, you know, even when Atiru used to play in that role, he had to be able to pass sufficiently to get the ball to other players. So I'm not sure about Rowan. Let him go back at the moment and see how the land lies.
Okay, very good, David. All right. These two are going to be very interesting. Ben Pringle, 26 years old. He's still under contract for one more season, but I've seen interest for him in Scotland. And then you have George Williams, 20 years old. He's still under contract until 2018, which tells me the club, you know, the club do like George. So I'm curious your thoughts on Pringle and Williams.
I think if you can only keep one of them, you'd have to keep Williams because he is, you know, he's been at Fulham a long time. They've invested a lot in him. We know he's out for a long time with a nasty injury. He's come back from that, thankfully. He is, you know, an international. You know, he's got a good chance of being out there in the summer with Wales.
In the Euros, yeah.
Yeah, we haven't had a good run of George, really. You know, he's had experience now, you know, playing a few other clubs, but we've never really had a good run for him playing for Fulham. Again, he has versatility to play wide. He could also play as a second striker potentially, or just behind the striker. And we are lacking in naturally wide players, whereas, you know, he is a naturally wide player, I guess.
Exactly.
Compared to what you say, Ben Pringle isn't really a naturally wide player. George is. But Pringle is, you know, more suited to playing in a narrow sort of midfield three, I think, from what we've seen of him. Trouble with Ben Pringle, he's another one who doesn't seem to be able to last 90 minutes. Getting back, he's not that great. He hasn't got a lot of pace. If one of them has to go, I think it will be Pringle, to be honest with you. Who knows what's going to happen with Slavica, but I can't see at the moment where Pringle's going to fit into it all, really.
Okay, very good, David. Let's go to another two players that I find very interesting. What your take? Should they stay or should they go? Ryan Tunnicliffe, 23 years old. He's under contract for one more season. And also, LVC, 21 years old, and he's also under contract for one more season. Should Ryan Tunnicliffe stay? Should he go? And should Lasse Vigan Christensen stay, or should he go?
At this stage, Ryan Tunnicliffe should stay. I think he is, he's a player with good energy. You know, he has his mad moments occasionally, but you know, he's another 100% player. He is a box-to-box kind of player. He's a little bit of the Steve Sidwell mould. You know, he's all energy and everything, but not enough finesse, really. He is capable of giving away silly free kicks, getting himself booked. But Steve Sidwell used to pop up with a few goals, and Tunnicliffe hasn't quite got there yet with that. But he has the potential to do that. And he is, you know, a useful foil, depending on the tactics you're playing. And yes, he can, if he has to, sort of filling in other positions. I don't think it's ideal, but I think he's definitely one to worth keeping. When you move on to LVC, there's this kind of big worry in my mind now about his hamstrings and stuff, and whether, you know, he's going to be a kind of a long-term sick note problem, because we had a brilliant run for him in his first sort of full season at Fulham. Then he picked up that hamstring injury, came back too quickly. Kit Simons brought him back too quickly, I think, for a cup match. And ever since then, you know, there's been issues with his hamstring. I don't even know if it's the same one. It could be the other hamstring, for all I know. But he came off again, and I think it was a hamstring injury. I don't know if that's actually been confirmed. But it starts to put doubts in your mind about this guy. You know, has he got some serious issues? Is he going to ever be able to play, you know, a full season again, which would be a terrible, terrible shame, because the first half of his Fulham sort of first season, you know, he was one of our best players week in, week out. But he's someone who needs to find the right people to play with. He needs to be playing central midfield, really, is where we saw the best of him. On the right, not so bad, but not as effective. On the left, even less effective. And in that ridiculous game we saw towards the end of the season there, we saw him up front for a bit, which was a complete waste. So I think if they can be sure about his injury situation, yes, we should keep him for now again. But if it looks like he's going to be, you know, a problem with injury, well, I mean, in that case, he might even be able to play for professional football again. You know, I'm not saying that he's finished now, but if you know
sure.
what I mean.
I know what you mean, David.
A persistent problem with injuries, it's going to hamper his career wherever he goes. I don't think anyone would be able to take him on. You often see stories, unfortunately, of guys who have to drop down to playing amateur football because their bodies won't allow them to train every day and play football professionally. And I hope that isn't the case, but let's hope LVC, you know, it's just been an unlucky year or so for him, and that he can regain his best fitness and best form. And then I think, he'd be someone you'd want to keep for sure.
Okay, so you would stick with him, but for you it's really about his health. You're concerned about his health, and I understand that, David. All right, we have two other players to mention. I'm curious your thoughts about Emerson Hyman. It sounds pretty strongly that he's not going to be back. And I posed this to Matt, so I'm going to pose it to you as well. What would you do if you were Savita? Would you really make a run at him and try to convince him to stay, or do you think that this is a lost cause? Would you even want Emerson Hyman, David? So should I ask you, you know, would you want him to stay if you could convince him?
I think they have tried to convince him, and I think his mind is still set on going, if you believe, what you read. And the difficulty is what you do with Emerson Hyman. If you do persuade him to stay, where is he going to be playing? Who is he going to be replacing? We still have
good
this
point.
Surfeit of central midfielders. I don't know. If I was a manager, I don't know if I could guarantee Emerson Hyman, you know, a starting place next season or a regular place in the team. It's because we still have Parker, we still have Tony Cliff, you know, we still have LVC potentially. We might have O'Hara even, and so already we have plenty of cover in central midfield. But I'm sure we're going to see someone else coming in anyway, for whatever reason. So Emerson Hyman may end up being a squad play, may end up having to play wide. So if we can get anything for him, of course, financially, we should take it. But the ball isn't in our court, really. That's the problem. He may walk
for nothing.
That's in his court. It's hard to judge exactly from what you read, but if his heart is set on going, which you kind of get the impression it is, that he wants to leave, then I don't really know if I want to persuade someone to stay anyway if they're kind of that set on going.
See, that's why I asked you the question, David, because, I was thinking about the same thing. Do you try to persuade him? But you bring up a good point. If he wants to go so badly, do you make the attempt? Because you want players that want to be a Fulham, and maybe he just doesn't want to be a Fulham anymore. We don't know. It's all speculation. We don't know. All right, last player to ask you about, I have a feeling that you're going to want him to stay, and that's Tom Kearney. And I pose this to Matt. Because Tom Kearney is under contract until June 30, 2019. He's only 25 years old. And I think he's a player you build around, David. But here's my question to you. Do you think about maybe even extending him out another year? Or do you do this? Do you try to up his pay? Because I think there are going to be teams that are going to try to come in for him. So what do you do with Tom Kearney? Do you want him to stay? And if you do, what do you do?
I think, we would keep him, most certainly. I don't think anyone would want to get rid of him. But I don't know how far I would go because, he's done well. He's done fairly well. But, he does have his limitations as well. It's like some of them, he's not very good defensively for a midfielder. You can't play him as one of central midfield two, not really, I don't think. You have to play him either wide or as a one of three or, behind the striker or something like that. I don't know, how sought after he would be from other clubs. I mean, we got him from Blackburn, but I don't think there was a lot of competition for him. He certainly has a skill about him. He has the ability to score goals, but I don't think we've seen enough from him to make me think, I'm going to commit, our whole futures to him. See how he performs in a better team with the right people around him, hopefully. Because we've seen, at times little things between him and McCormack and Dembele where he's certainly played some great little balls and interchanged the passes. But we don't know who's going to be here next year, what system's going to be played, how Tom Kearney fits into it all. So before we go, signing his name in blood, let's see how the land lies with everybody else. But certainly keep him, yeah.
Okay, very good, David. Okay, let's move on to the forwards. I'll give you two at a time. Matt Smith, 26 years old. He's under contract for one more season. And Colin Woodrow is only 21 years old. He's under contract for two more seasons. What do you do with Matt Smith? Should he stay or should he go? And the same thing with Colin Woodrow.
Well, as it stands at this minute, they maybe are only two strikers, so they would have to stay because we could lose the other two, of course. Matt Smith, I think he's the most different of the strikers. He does offer you something different. I know there's been much debate about, him starting, him being a plan B, but he does offer you a completely different perspective up front, his physicality and everything. And you imagine Matt Smith playing in a team where you have Fredericks and Husband as wing-backs getting crosses in. Matt Smith could be a useful player, a useful sub. I think we should certainly keep Matt Smith. He didn't cost us very much money. He didn't cost us much money, as far as I know. He was quite cheap. I don't think we'd get a lot for him if we were to sell him. So I would keep him. And at the moment, we may rely on him more than we think. And Cawley, Cawley's another enigma one because he started off. He had a couple of really good, goal-scoring things. Substitute appearance came on and scored goals. then has hardly had a look in, really, with the partnership of Dembele and then McCormack. But he is under contract, Corley. But again, he's been called up, I think, for England to under 21s, hasn't he? Or initially for the squad. So
that's right.
He is getting a bit of recognition there. So, you know, there may be an opportunity, I think, if we bring in strikers. I mean, I think Woodrow might feel unsettled anyway. Let's say we went out and signed a few new strikers in the summer. If that happens, Woodrow might think, oh, well, hold on, my future's not here anymore. Time to move on. So Woodrow, I'm not sure about. Matt Smith, keep at the moment. Woodrow, I'm less sure of, because it depends on who stays, really. And again, him personally, how he would feel about it. I can't see Woodrow being a regular striker in the squad. I can see Matt Smith being a regular bench person, if nothing else, because, as I say, the differences he offers in when he comes on. But Woodrow doesn't really offer you anything much different. Woodrow needs to be the sort of person who's, you know, really, you know, he's got to be aiming for a starting place. And if he's not getting a starting place, I think his future maybe is elsewhere.
Okay, very interesting take there, David. All right, we have two left. Moussa Dembele, we know the situation with Moussa Dembele. He's going to have a huge amount of offers. And someone, Emerson Hyman, David, I'm sure they've talked to him. Would you make the strong sell to try to see if he'll stay one more year, or would you just say, you know what, let's just hope he stays in England? And then there's the curious situation with Ross McCormack. We've seen the speculation that, and teams are going to be interested in him. Speculation has that he could have a clause in his contract. It's only speculation that could be. I've seen speculation, £12 million. So, David, Moussa Dembele and Ross McCormack, give me your thoughts on both.
Well, I think it's the same sort of for both of them, really. Is if they do want to stay, and Dembele would have to commit himself to signing a contract, obviously, then it's hard really to say no, because of the fact that they can score goals. But on the other hand, if you can get fees for both of them, good fees, then, you know, let them go. If Dembele doesn't want to stay, get money for him, great. If McCormack is looking to go at the slightest thing, 30 years old, if you can get £12 million for him, that's a very, very good fee. I mean, that's the same sort of fee as we got for Louis Saha, who scored, you know, as many, if not more, goals, had more pace, and did it in the Premier League as well for Fulham, of course, and latterly other clubs in the Premier League. So if you could get £12 million for him, and again, I've seen stories that Ross McCormack, because we didn't get promoted, because we didn't reach certain targets, etc., we've only paid about six-something million for him, or something like that. I don't know if you've seen these things. So
yeah, I have.
If we didn't pay anything like the £11 million that Leeds was suggesting we paid, and yet there's a possibility of getting £12 million for him now when he's sort of 2-3 years older, I think he's got to take it with both hands, haven't you? That sort of money for that age. That could really, you know, you could buy, I think Mike said it, you could buy, you know, a few good players with that sort of money.
And
Ross is perceived as being, you know, one of the, what I described hilariously as a function in the squad, isn't he, you know? He is one of those. That's a great word, function. I'm going to have to.
I forgot to bring
Anthea's dictionary down with me again.
Well, that's okay.
I don't know if function is the New Zealand word for fiction, I think, because an I sounds like a U. So, yeah, that would be.
Oh, boy.
That's a different one. Fuction, yeah. It's a fiction, yeah.
Okay.
So if he's one of these factions in the squad that are divisive, and you kind of get this impression that he could be, then I think I'd be, you know, I would certainly be inclined to let him go at that money. He's on a big wage, I would imagine. We could use the money wisely. Well, we couldn't. Knowing Fulham, who knows what happened. But if we did use the money wisely, £12 million and his wages off the payroll, we could do a lot of good with that. So if Ross wants to go and someone wants to pay the money, let him go. Dembele, if we can keep him, great. But if he wants to go and we get money, let him go as well.
Okay. So for you, it really comes down to, with Dembele, you know, obviously you would like Dembele to stay, but we could get a decent amount of money for him if he goes. If he stays in England, let's hope he stays in England. But McCormack's an interesting one, David. That's why I was looking forward to speaking to you about him at the end. Because if the money is what the speculation is, it says it is, it's tempting. It's actually very tempting. But would you know? But let's say no one offered him us that, and would you want him to stay? Let's just say, forget about someone offering that. Do you want him to stay?
It's hard to know where the gold's going to come from otherwise, isn't it? So
okay,
that is the problem. So unless we know we're getting good money for him, yes, I'd like him to stay.
Okay. Very good there, David. All right. Okay.
You're laughing.
Why don't we
you're
do
reading
this?
What I just Skype. You're laughing because I just read the Skype. What I Skyped you, yeah?
That was pretty funny,
David. The volcano in Iceland, that is, yeah?
yeah.
Ayafala Yayakololu.
Okay. Okay, why don't we do this? I don't think we're going to go maybe more than a minute or two over. I'm going to read some comments of who should stay from some of the Fulham supporters. Get your thoughts on that. I'm also going to read in full what Giannis said because, again, I was not doing Giannis justice. I want to read that to you and get your thoughts on what he shared. So why don't we do this? I'm going to read the comments on the Facebook page, and then you just dial back in. Sound good?
Yeah, that's great. I'll be straight back.
All right. Very good. And yes, David, that was pretty funny what you just shared to me. All right. While I wait for David, I'm going to read these comments from the Fulham supporters that I actually did a post just asking who people would want to stay. And Jordan Emmett said this, we 100% need to keep Tom Kearney, Michael Maddle, Marcus Bettinelli, Scott Parker, Ryan Tunnicliffe, Passion Desire, Ross McCormack, Ryan Fredericks, bring him back. Other than that, get rid. Maybe keep Kali Woodrow, Moussa Dembele is a goner. Dan Byrne, my favorite, is a goner. What do you think? Well, it's very interesting there, my friend. We've been talking about all these players. Dean Gooch said, agree with the keepers. I know Moussa is a goner, but I try my best to keep him. We should have given Byrne an extension. Other than Maddle, he's our best defender. If Stearman stays, God help us. Very interesting. Lars Anderson said, Kearney, Maddle, Bettinelli, Scott Parker, Tunnicliffe, Fredericks, Woodrow, LVC, and give Byrne a new contract. Okay, Brendan O'Connor said, Kearney, Ross, Betts, Maddle, Parker, Dembele, but I think he will go. The rest need a huge kick up the XXX. We need to buy proven players, but I think we have the right manager now to do the business. Also, Grant needs to. He doesn't actually say anything after that. All right, I'm going to bring David back on. All right, David, can you hear me, my friend?
I can.
Okay, very good. Okay, I just read those comments from the Fulham supporters. I'm going to read Giannis's in total comments, and here they are. This is from our College Talk co-host, who unfortunately could not join us. He wanted to be here, so I'm going to read it out in full. I want to get your thoughts on it. This is what Giannis said. The players I would keep are Parker, Maddle, excellent signing, Tunnicliffe, starting a season healthy will help, McCormack, Fredericks, LVC, needs to be used more, excellent talent, Woodrow, dreadfully underused this season, Ince, if we can get him for a reasonable fee, and Grimmer. You'll notice I haven't included any goalkeepers. If Bettinelli stays, it has to be as a backup. I've already said that. We need an experienced keeper to take us back up. As for the rest, bye-bye. With honorable mentions to Jazz Richards in over 40 years of supporting Fulham, I can think of very few worse players. Awful. Stearman, nice guy, but a rotten year. O'Hara, big fan, but it hasn't worked out for him. And Stecklenburg, don't let the bloody door hit you on the way out. Those are the comments from our friend, our co-host, Giannis Shenaeus. David, what are your thoughts about what Giannis shared?
I don't think there's anything unsurprising there. Obviously, he's always said that about Stecklenburg. We know he shares our views on Richards as well. I've been fairly kind tonight, really. I could have been a lot crueler. But without knowing who's coming in, then it's hard to know really who to go out exactly, because we may sign the two best central midfielders you can get. And then, sure. You know, we may find that we have no need anymore for LVC or Tiny Cliff, for example. I'm just saying that. You know, and likewise, it could apply anywhere. We don't know what's happening. We sign two great goalkeepers. We don't need the goalkeepers we've got. So it's difficult to be sure at this stage because, you know, we want to try, I suppose. I think everyone wants to try and cling on to the hope that we can build a new team with the core of, you know, the better players and the squad we have now. It would be very strange to start the season with 11 new players. It would be very weird, I guess. So I think we'd all like to see the players come good. Even people perhaps like Stearman and stuff who've signed on good reputations who haven't done very well. You know, and we have seen it before. There's been players who have come good after bad starts. So Chris Baird is one that comes to mind in his original spell with us. You know, he had a very poor start. He was at right back. He used to get a lot of stick at right back. You know, not maybe quite as much as our friend Yaz does, but and suddenly he became a Fulham hero. So you know, it's not completely over for any of these guys. And you know, the romantic image is to see, you know, the core of these guys stay with a few new faces, you know, build a good successful side, because that might be easier than having 11 new players having to start from scratch, and find out how they're all going to fit together and what part of the jigsaw they're in.
Okay,
I don't
very
know.
Good there.
I think it's really hard because, as we know, that none of them have really been good enough this year. It's been even difficult to pick a player of the season, to be honest with you, and there's been no real standout performers. And you have to look at the old sort of favourites, people like Ross, who have obviously scored goals consistently, and say, well, you know, he hasn't been brilliant at times and he's been exasperating, but without his goals we would have been stuffed. So we need to be in a situation where we have more contenders for player of the season.
I agree, David. All right. To finish off the show, you know, listen, you've been going through all the players. So I'm going to put you on the spot, you know, because you're talking about, you know, 11 new players. That's a great deal. So in the perfect world, who should stay? Just give me the handful of players that it was in your power, I've named all the players, and you pretty much have shared which ones you'd want to stay. But let's just get the group that you definitely would want to stay. You know, it might be five, might be seven, might be three, I don't know. So can you name those players for me?
Can I sit on the fence again?
David, you can sit on the fence as long as you want.
Well, I mean, in terms of ability-wise, yes, you would keep McCormack and you would keep Dembele, you'd keep Kearney, I guess. And maybe they're the only three that I could think of as definite, who you'd definitely start with. The rest are all only squad at best.
Okay.
People like Tony Cliff, Fredericks, maybe, Bettinelli.
How about Maddle?
I'm thinking of who we are. My mind hasn't switched over to the fact that he's a permanent player yet. So there's another Goldman there from me as well. But yeah, Maddle, of course.
Another Goldman.
Obviously. It's not fair that I make the mistake and we call it a Goldman. We should call it a Hully if it's my mistake. I think it's only fair.
No, it's okay.
But, yeah,
it's
Maddle.
Okay, David. Yeah. David, it's okay. I made so many Goldmans in the coaching corner because, you know, I can't multitask, and I was screwing up left and right. But what's good is that I can laugh about him, and we can laugh about him. I don't care if we call a mistake you make a Goldman. I really don't. But it sounds like to me it's those three players that you mentioned and Michael Mell. So there's basically four, right?
Yeah, I mean, for the players we've got at the moment, they're the only four really that I would, you know, in ability-wise, you know, think that I would be starting with next season. All the rest have got to fight for a place and would only get a place if there was no one better to come along, really, if you know what I mean. But certainly,
okay.
You know, the two up front, for all their faults, you know, 35, 38 goals between them, whatever it was,
yep.
You know, you don't give that away easily. But if people come in for money, if they don't want to stay in, people are going to pay good money for them, then you've got to take it. It's simple business.
Okay, very good, David. And then you mentioned Kearney in central midfield. Well, in Right, and you know, whatever his role is going to be, because he's been everywhere in the midfield, I shouldn't say, because we'll see where he plays this season. I'd like to see him in central midfield. And then, of course, you've got Michael Maddle as one of your center backs. And then after that, like you said, we expect many changes. So you're basically going with four, and that's fair, David. There's nothing wrong with that. All right. Any final thought before we go?
Well, we'll be lucky to be four, because if we lose the two strikers, that's only going to be two of them I'd actually be keeping as first-team players. A few of them are squad, and the rest, on the rest, it's see you later, but thanks, but no thanks.
Okay, very good. David, thank you so much for joining me tonight. You were great as always. And you know, what's interesting, like I said, I did this earlier with Matt, and Matt had his different opinions. We looked at it in a different manner. That was more from like a business and coaching perspective, and this was more like a fan perspective. So you really brought it tonight. So, David, thank you, and you can make as many Goldmans as you want.
Well, I think, you know, my new word I've invented is a really good word, I think.
It's a very good word, but unfortunately I'm going to have to make this an R rating, so thank you, an explicit episode. Thank you very much for that. But listen, it is time to go, and you were great tonight, my friend. I look forward to having you back on soon.
Yeah, I look forward to it. I'm not sure if I'll join you for the show about Mike Rigg. That'll be a very short show when you do his achievements for the season. You'll be lucky to get 15 minutes out of it, as will the show for Shahid Khan potentially as well. So they could be short shows. I'm not going to come out with any old jokes and stuff. I've got a new app that tells you jokes on my phone, and these jokes are older than you, me, and Yanis put together, most of them, so I'm not going to come out with any old jokes, but they could be very short shows, but I wish you the best with them if I'm not involved.
Oh, you are one of a kind, my friend, but it is time to go, and that's going to do it for this special episode of Cottage Talk. For David Holly, I'm Russ Goldman. Thank you, as always, for listening to Cottage Talk. Cheers, David. Have a great night.
Yeah, good night, Russ. Thanks, everybody. Goodbye.
Boys and girls.